This is Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
New year and a whole lot of the same names down the stretch in the NFL playoff picture as we get ready to get this thing started here in 2022 on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. We are presented by
Merry New Year! Merry New Year! I have to do that. I have to get that off my chest, Kojo. I have to.
You know what, Chris? I got a question for everybody because we're walking around here and it is January 3rd, so I still feel like I can wish everybody a Happy New Year. It is our first show of the new year. But is it Happy New Year or Happy New Years? Because I've heard both and I just thought it was one year. I thought it was New Year.
No, it's Happy New Year. Anybody saying Happy New Year's is dead wrong. And furthermore, like, we need to hold them, you know, we need to call them to the carpet, bring them down to the altar, and explain to them why it's New Year and not New Year's. Just saying. And also, I want to throw out there that there is an expiration date on wishing people Happy New Year. Like, you got to the end of this week. I'm going to say Friday. Let's give it to the end of the work week. And after that, that has to go away. You can't say it after we've gone through an entire week continuing to say Happy New Year.
No, I'm with you because we're all looking for that crutch in conversation. Most of that is for that person you're going to see in the office that you talk to around the water cooler that you're just looking for anything. You usually talk to them about the weather. You ask them questions about their kids that you don't really care about the answers to. And so right now you got Happy New Year for this week. But Chris, I am with you. So everyone, get it out of your system by Friday. Tell Joe in accounting Happy New Year as many times as you can until then. And then next week you got to figure it out on your own.
There you go. There you go. But speaking of things we got to figure out, we got to get to that game that we saw in MetLife Stadium yesterday between the Jets and the Buccaneers because it ended about like we thought it would when we saw Tom Brady get the ball back down 4 points with 2 minutes to go. We knew the end of that movie, but we didn't anticipate the route that we were going to take to get to that point in the game and the theatrics or the drama that we saw from one Antonio Brown. So I feel like we got to start there with our show.
We do. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we will talk to Tom Krasnicki from down in Tampa in about 10 minutes about this because, Chris, you're right. Jets fans have been used to essentially the existence of an M. Night Shyamalan movie, right? There's usually a big twist in there we never see coming and then a very disappointing ending that you always know is going to hit you over the head. So Jets fans who thought they were going to win, I don't know how many there really were because Tom Brady was still on that other sideline. But what you mentioned, Antonio Brown, in the middle of this comeback win by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was seen on the sideline at first arguing with Mike Evans, his fellow wide receiver, before taking off his pads, taking off his shirt, throwing that shirt into the crowd, and then dancing off the field for possibly the last time, certainly the last time in a Bucs uniform, maybe the last time in any NFL uniform. Chris, you played in this league for a long time. Have you ever seen anything like that?
I've never seen anything quite like that, Gojo. I don't even know where to start in terms of trying to digest it all. The one thing I will say is people are speculating on whether or not Antonio Brown is going to have a place in this league moving forward. And my answer to that would be no, because he proved yesterday that he's not trustworthy. Forget about the disagreement that he had with his head coach, Bruce Arians, because all players have disagreements at some point with their coach if you stick around long enough. The part I have an issue with is him quitting on his team in the middle of a game where they're down double digits trying to fight to come back. Like, they're down 14 at that point. It's a little over 3 minutes left to go in the third quarter, and his team is driving. They got the ball. B.A. is trying to get him to go back into the game. He refuses to go back into the game, and then Mike Evans walks over to him, tries to calm him down, and then Mike Evans, from his own words, said he saw a look in Antonio Brown's eyes that he hadn't seen in a very long time. The dude ditches his helmet, his shoulder pads, takes off his undershirt, throws it in the stands, jogs down the sideline, takes off his gloves, throws those in the stands, proceeds to do jumping jacks, and then chuck the deuces to the crowd at MetLife Stadium. All while the offense from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is actually on the field trying to mount a comeback. That is inexcusable. Like, this is a team sport, and ultimately you are held accountable by the guys in that locker room. Like, to a man, you've got to be accountable for your actions and not detracting from the goal of the team as a whole. And the fact that Antonio Brown did what he did yesterday, like, that speaks volumes about his sports character, and I don't think he'll ever be in a position where there's another NFL team that feels like they can trust him enough to bring him in to help them win.
Yeah, Chris, you mentioned the right word here is accountability, because it's something that I think has led entirely to what we saw there today, where the off-field character that had often been in question for Antonio Brown finally caught off enough with the on-field character for the football people to make a decision about this. I want to get to more of that, but we heard from Bruce Arians, their head coach earlier today, same Bruce Arians that weeks ago had said the history had changed with Antonio Brown in the last year. He had been a model citizen since he came to Tampa, and so that was the reason that Bruce Arians gave for why he was more than comfortable to bring Antonio Brown back onto the team after the forged vaccination card incident, despite last year saying he had one strike and he was gone. So Bruce Arians, who was asked about it after the game and didn't have much to say, got asked about it in the Bucks presser today and talked about his feelings in this situation with AB.
Hey, B.A., I know you said yesterday that, you know, the perception is that A.B., Antonio Brown quit. We all saw him walk off the field, but he wouldn't go in the game because he was injured, and now he's no longer part of the team. Can you fire a player if he won't go because he's injured?
I don't know that he was.
Did he say that he was, or was there a dispute about that?
No.
He just refused to go in, or can you tell us more about it?
Not really. I mean, what happened is pretty obvious what happened. So he left the field and that was it.
So you didn't tell him to leave. He left completely on his own in this thing yesterday.
We had a conversation and he left the field. Yeah.
Bruce, obviously you guys gave Antonio a chance and he helped you guys win a Super Bowl last year. You have him this year. Were there any type of regret? How will you look at this whole experience now that it's ended this way?
No, I have no regrets. I just hope the best for him.
Ken Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and I'm not surprised he has no regrets here. It helped get him a Super Bowl ring here with the rest of this team here. So that's
exactly.
And Chris, that's what this is all really about, right? Because as we have this conversation, I have seen a lot of people speculating about Antonio Brown's mental health. I've seen people bring up CTE, all in a way that, quite frankly, I feel like is irresponsible. Those are things that we do not know about Antonio Brown from the outside looking in. What we know about Antonio Brown is what he has consistently done over time, and that is draw negative attention to himself, in some points bordering on criminal, the accusations that have followed him around, and then now that is translated into the football side of things. And that is the express reason why he is out of there, right? We have seen the off-the-field things and the off-the-field transgressions have not been enough to get him away on this, but it is overall to me, and this is the reason I have the discomfort with the way a lot of the rest of this conversation gets framed, is because it completely shirks, again, that accountability. Antonio Brown, because of his ability, has never been held meaningfully accountable for any of the things that he has done wrong along the way here. It's just like everywhere else in life, where if you're good enough at something and people can make use of that, they'll keep you around until that is no longer the case here. This is the first instance that we are seeing of real accountability here. And for all the crowd that's saying they hope he gets help, I hope he does. I hope that moment is enough for a wake-up call if there really is help that he needs. But this exists because this is a person that has never been held accountable along the way because of his ability.
Well, here's the other thing too, Gojo. There are endless amounts of resources available to you in the mental health realm when you're associated with the National Football League. I mean, you know, all of these clubs and the league as a whole, as long with the NFLPA, there are a number of different resources that you can use in order to address your mental health in a meaningful way. Similar to the way that athletes address their physical well-being, those resources are available to you. I haven't played in the NFL since 2015, and I still take advantage of the mental health benefit that's afforded to current and former players. So there really is no excuse, if there is a real mental health issue for Antonio Brown, for him to not have sought out the help that he actually needs in order for him to keep it together. So I'm with you. I feel like it's irresponsible, because we're not mental health professionals, to speculate on that front. As far as what is concerned with Antonio Brown's behavior, there is a clear pattern here that does not afford him the benefit of the doubt. Mm. It doesn't. If he didn't learn his lesson at the end of Pittsburgh, where he had the Facebook Live while Mike Tomlin is talking to the team after a game, or going AWOL at the end of the regular season and then showing up on game day thinking he's going to be in the lineup, if that doesn't help, or the way that things ended in Vegas with not wanting to wear a helmet that was because of his former helmet being decommissioned by the NFL with head injuries and trauma, like that situation, then you had what took place in New England with the domestic violence accusations. Then the accusations with the movers for Antonio Brown, on top of that, stiffing the chef that he was employing. Like, all of these different things, all of this different noise, not to mention the fake vaccination card. All of that is what led us to this point in Antonio Brown's career being on its last legs. And ultimately, BA and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization decided that the juice is not worth the squeeze. The distraction that comes along with Antonio Brown is not worth the production. And that's got to be a sad state of affairs, given where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are with their wide receiver depth chart. The fact that this organization made this decision after his antics yesterday, that just shows you how much of a bad apple Antonio Brown is, which is why I don't think we're going to see him in the National Football League ever again.
No, it's a great point. There could not be a bigger need at a position right now than the Bucs have at receiver based on injury, and they still decided that Antonio Brown was not a part of their football future. We want to hear from you on this. Be a part of Canty and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Hit us up at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. The national championship game's almost here, and fans are hype. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Are we done seeing Antonio Brown on an NFL football field? 888-SAY-ESPN. Coming up next, though, we will head down to Tampa and try and figure out why this was finally the breaking point after all the things that Chris just mentioned about Antonio Brown in his NFL tenure. We'll get to that after this word from Wendy's. Now, Wendy's knows a better breakfast starts with a better biscuit. Get a light and flaky Wendy's breakfast biscuit with bacon or sausage, egg and cheese. These hot and buttery treasures come stacked with oven-baked applewood smoked bacon or savory breakfast sausage with fresh cracked egg and cheese. So don't risk your biscuit someplace else. Speaking of Bruce Arians, get to your nearest Wendy's drive-thru during breakfast hours and get your Wendy's breakfast biscuits with sausage or bacon, egg and cheese, limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's.
And we have an incident down here with Antonio Brown. He is upset about something, Gene, and I've never seen this. He has taken his uniform, his shoulder pads off, and he has run to the Buccaneer locker room.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty, and tons of conversation about Antonio Brown's departure from the Buccaneers game against the Jets and his subsequent release from the team. So it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, as we head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to Tom Krasnicki of Ronnie and T. Kras on 620 WDAE down in Tampa. And Tom, we appreciate you giving us some time. I know the last couple of years have been busy for the sports media covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but this has to be a new high watermark for weirdness, I have to imagine.
Mike, it sure was. And Chris, it's great to be with you guys here this afternoon. It was such a bizarre set of circumstances yesterday, culminating with Antonio Brown basically being kicked off the team. And I think it was the final straw for the Buccaneers. I think they placed a lot of trust in him. Bruce Arians, I think, reluctantly decided to give him another chance after the fake COVID card controversy, and Antonio Brown failed him. And let's not forget about Tom Brady, who has stuck his neck out for Antonio Brown. He pounded the table to get him here in Tampa after he had him in New England for one game. And Antonio Brown also betrayed his trust as well. Just unfortunate.
T. Kras, I know that everybody wants to focus on Antonio Brown, but Bruce Arians tried to spin it forward yesterday in a post-game press conference. And looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and them trying to repeat as champions, knowing the depleted wide receiver core that they have and some of the injuries at the skill position players on offense, what's going to have to be this team's formula for success on that side of the ball as they try to retool this thing and get ready for a postseason run?
Chris, it's a great question. I think what they need to do is lean on their offensive line. They've got three Pro Bowlers up front, and that's where it all starts and ends, as you know, obviously, in the years that you played. It all starts with the big guys up front. They had three guys in the Pro Bowl, Ryan Jensen at center, Ali Marpet at guard, Tristan Wirfs at right tackle. I thought Donovan Smith at left tackle was playing the best football of his career this year. You could have made a case for a fourth Pro Bowler. They need to dominate the line of scrimmage. They need to pound the running game. Now, the problem here is they've got injured running backs. Leonard Fournette likely out for the playoffs. Ronald Jones sprained his ankle again. He's got to get an MRI. Keyshawn Vaughn, his backup, had a rib injury. They hope he can go this week. So that leaves the Bucs with Le'Veon Bell. Yes, he's still around. Kenyon Barner's also around. So they're a little depleted in the backfield. But in my opinion, they need to run the football and really control the line of scrimmage to protect Tom Brady moving forward.
Ken Engel Jr. talking to Tom Krasnicki from 620 WDAE in Tampa about the situation with Antonio Brown and what you just mentioned there. When Chris and I were talking, because of injury, he had really been vital. Getting him back was going to be big for that receiver room. Tom, what's the fan reaction been to Antonio Brown's entire tenure and this ending that we've seen from him in Tampa?
Quite frankly, guys, and this is not the entire fan base, but some fans don't really care about a player and what they do off the field as long as it's not overly egregious. A lot of fans were of the mindset of, well, Antonio Brown could help this team. Who cares about what he's doing off the field? He's a good football player. We need him to win the Super Bowl. That's not the entire fan base, but there's some fans, and I've heard a lot of them in our pre- and post-game show and our morning show as well. Those fans are saying, listen, sweep it under the rug. This guy can help us win. Well, and I was cautioning fans really for a year and a half, like, listen, you guys really don't know what you're dealing with here. You're playing with fire. Antonio Brown's done this to three other teams in the last 3 years. Eventually, when you play with matches, you're going to get burned. He's a ticking time bomb. He's going to blow up in your face at some point, and that point was yesterday.
T-Kraz, I got to ask you this question because lost in all of this is Tom Brady's brilliance, being able to engineer a double-digit comeback, including that two-minute drive at the end of the game for the go-ahead score. I mean, he leads the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns. Should we be talking about Tom Brady being the MVP at age 44?
Absolutely. I mean, he's got 40 touchdowns. He might finish with 42 to 44 touchdowns after next week's game. Leads the league in completions, pass attempts, passing yards, touchdowns. He was able to compartmentalize and have just absolute focus. Even after Antonio Brown walked off the field, this guy is just so obsessed with winning, and he's got the focus in order to say, okay, listen, he walked off the field. I'm going to make do with what I have right here. They're going to double Gronk. They're going to double Mike Evans, which is exactly what the Jets did on that last drive. So I'm going to utilize Tyler Johnson and Breshad Perriman and Cyril Grayson, a guy who never even played football at LSU, was a track guy. And he makes him the hero at the end of the game. The way he made heroes out of guys like Troy Brown and Deion Branch and the like, you know, going back to his days in New England, he tends to elevate the play of those around him. That's why I would give him the MVP.
Is certainly going to be in that conversation down the stretch and certainly has his work cut out for him with all the changes he's now had to weather on that offensive roster here. Tom, we appreciate you giving us some time this afternoon. We know it's been a crazy 24 hours here, but best of luck, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Anytime, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And Chris, that attitude he described by the fan base there, I think is kind of a reminder of that's the attitude more often than not of folks within football circles, right? Is, hey, we understand you're here to help our football team win. And as much as the NFL and a lot of its campaigns wants to project this morality and wants to write different things in the end zone here, ultimately we see them demonstrated, like you said, over time, they're going to put people on the field that can help them win and largely going to look the other way when it comes to the things they do off the field.
No doubt about it. I mean, if you have the production, then teams are going to put up with or tolerate some of the antics that we've seen from guys like Antonio Brown. But the moment that they don't think that that production is worth it, then they're going to move on from you. And I think it got to that point with Antonio Brown yesterday, just the spectacle that he created, the distraction that he created for his team while they're already dealing with some adverse circumstances, being down by as many as 14 points in that game against the Jets. It just felt like one of those situations that Antonio Brown was taken away from what they were trying to accomplish. And so that's why they ultimately came to the decision to not only cut bait with him, Gojo, but to not allow this dude to fly back on the team plane. I mean, you got the images of Antonio Brown waiting outside of MetLife Stadium for an Uber. And then we saw the video from Uber driver Danny Chalet talking about how Antonio Brown was going to be a part of his Netflix series. Like, that's how bizarre that whole scene got with AB yesterday at MetLife Stadium with the Tampa Bay Bucks and with the New York Jets. So it's just, it's crazy that this is the way that it came to a head, but I mean, it is Antonio Brown, so should we expect anything different?
No. We have constantly seen this player demonstrate that when it all comes down to it, it's about him first and foremost. And so we shouldn't be surprised when these are the kind of results that we get in this situation here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is where you can get in touch with us on this. But coming up next, we got to go on the field. Why one NFL team may just be who we thought they were. We'll tell you about the Dallas Cowboys coming off of a disappointing loss to the Cardinals next on ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. This is ESPN Radio.
Christine Lisi. Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians told reporters today he has no regrets bringing receiver Antonio Brown in the organization and hopes for the best for his former player. Arians also said Brown never told him he couldn't go back into the Jets game because he was injured. The Bucs cut ties with Brown, who abruptly left the field mid-game and is no longer with the organization. Despite his immense talent, Brown's likely done in the NFL. Teams won't look past what he did yesterday, in the opinion of our Chris Canty.
Quitting on his team in the middle of a game where they're down double digits trying to fight to come back. That is inexcusable. Like, this is a team sport, and ultimately you are held accountable by the guys in that locker room. Like, to a man, you've got to be accountable for your actions and not detracting from the goal of the team as a whole.
Chris Canty of Canty and Golic Jr. Steelers and Browns meet on Monday Night Football, 8 Eastern ESPN TV and ESPN2. Steelers need a win to keep their slim playoff hopes alive. According to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, the Nets are preparing for guard Kyrie Irving to make his season debut at Indiana on Wednesday night.
This was huge for the Cardinals. I thought defensively they showed quite a bit against what really is, you know, a good Dallas offense.
We're right on the, you know, precipice of the playoffs, and we're still seeing that same old inconsistency from the Dallas Cowboys on offense.
After a week full of takes, was that Dallas offensive performance against Washington really more of a one-hit wonder? What can we expect from the Cowboys down the home stretch and as we get ready for playoff football? It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And we will get to that here in just a minute. But, Chris, we spent a lot of time talking about Antonio Brown and his abrupt departure from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got some people on the Goodyear hotline that want to talk to us. So let's go to Kelly in Dallas. Kelly, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. here. What do you got?
Yeah, I wanted to call in with something I saw yesterday on the postgame show when Michael Strahan made the comment about concern for, you know, or question possibly about his mental health. And that was something, you know, that I thought about before. When you see somebody like Antonio Brown with repeat bizarre behavior, yeah, you know, at some point you got to be like, enough's enough. But do you all, what are your thoughts on the possibility of this being a much deeper issue and something that is a real struggle for him that just hasn't been diagnosed or hasn't been investigated?
Kelly, I think that, you know, we can all be concerned about Antonio Brown's mental health, but he has to be more concerned about it to the point where he's willing to address it in a meaningful way if it is an actual issue for him, in order for it to get fixed. Like, we can, you know, give him all the well wishes that we want. We can talk about all the resources that are available to him. But at some point, the individual has to be accountable for trying to address their mental health in a meaningful way. I mean, we talk about how real it is, just like the physical injuries that athletes deal with. Like, this is something that's going to have to be on Antonio Brown. But right now, it's clear that he can't do that and be a part of the National Football League. And that's been clear for the last couple of years.
Yep. I don't want to wash personal agency away from somebody when I don't know anything more, right? If I knew something real and concrete about Antonio Brown's mental state. But right now, we're all just speculating from the sideline here. Everyone looking at this and trying to diagnose from the bleachers isn't really helping the situation right now. So again, all I can do without assuming too much is go off what I've seen. And I've seen someone that has been accused of causing people harm off the field and being unaccountable and someone you cannot trust on the field at this point. So that has been a lot of the issue with Antonio Brown. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. We'll get to more of your calls in a couple of minutes here. But, Chris, last week we thought the Cowboys had solved a lot of their issues on the offensive side of the football against the Washington football team. And that appeared to disappear pretty quickly yesterday as Kyler Murray gets yet another win, now undefeated in his career in Jerry World here between high school, college, and the pros. He's now 6-0 at Arlington at AT&T Stadium. So are you worried about what you saw? Is this the Cowboys team that we're just going to get from here on out?
No, I am worried about what I saw from Dallas, and really it has to do with their offense being so one-dimensional. And this is something that we've talked about for the last couple of months, but this offense hasn't been able to have the presence in the run game, the production in the run game that we saw in the first half of this season. And yesterday that was the case again. And when you saw that that Arizona Cardinals defensive front, Chandler Jones and company, took advantage of that because they were teeing off on Dak Prescott, not just when it comes to the sacks, but the quarterback pressures, being disruptive, putting their hands in the passing lanes, knocking down passes, like all of those different things that ended up stalling the offense for the Cowboys for the better part of three quarters. Now, we saw them come alive in the fourth quarter, and that was thanks to some trick plays that Kellen Moore dialed up the pass to from Cedric Wilson to Tony Pollard, kind of got things going. But ultimately, this is about the Cowboys being able to try to find a way to have more balance, because if they don't get that aspect of their team fixed, then we're going to be talking about this being an early exit for them out of the playoffs. Right now, as things are situated, they're in a dogfight not to be that fourth seed in the NFC, because that means you're going to have to play either the Arizona Cardinals or the Los Angeles Rams. And those are two teams that could present some problems for this version of the Dallas Cowboys. But if we see the team that we saw in the first half of this season, that balanced attack on the offensive side of the ball, then I feel like the Cowboys are a group that can beat anybody. But it's been a long time since we saw that outfit, and I'm not going to go back 2 weeks to the Washington football team game. I think you have to kind of throw that out, because we saw that that was more of an aberration. That's not the norm based on what we've seen from the Cowboys in the second half of this year.
Yeah, Chris, I'm not going to make the mistake that I made last year in the postseason, where I looked at the Kansas City Chiefs and I said, regardless of everything I know about football and have seen with the injuries to that team and how it could affect it, that something's going to have different. Much like we've said about a number of issues now, when someone shows you who they are over and over again, believe them. Dallas over this last stretch has shown us this is who they're going to be on offense right now. 45 yards rushing total for Dallas in this game against the Cardinals versus 127 by Arizona on the other side. Chris, I was stunned. Vance Joseph's unit on defense, led by Chandler Jones, controlled the line of scrimmage basically from the onset of that game. And that, a crack in the foundation of who this Cowboys team is supposed to be. I can trust their defense, Chris. They're great, but I can't expect this offense to be something they have not been for a while now.
No, they haven't. And Ezekiel Elliott has not been that dude for a while as well. I mean, that's somebody that has to be front and center of the criticism and the lack of production in the run game. I mean, we haven't been talking about Ezekiel Elliott really having any ultra-productive games outside of what we saw a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you're talking about Zeke throughout the course of this season really struggling to be able to put together those types of performances that he has become known for. And that's got to be a big concern for Jerry Jones. Like, unless you're going to get the version of Ezekiel Elliott that we saw a couple of years ago, a guy that's capable of averaging more than 4 yards per attempt, then it's going to be a problem for this Dallas Cowboys offense to be able to get going and compete when it comes to playoff-style football. And that's exactly where we're at right now. So until Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, that combination, can give them more, then this offense is going to continue to struggle. And we've seen, when it comes to just straight drop back pass protection, that there are some struggles along that offensive line. This is not the group that we saw back in 2016. So this could be one of those things that ends up being a fatal flaw for the Dallas Cowboys. It's unfortunate, because this team feels like it has all the makings of being a Super Bowl contender, yet they're not getting the production out of the run game that we saw in the first half of this year.
No, and they can't flex to the drop back passing game. Like, remember at the beginning of the season when we had this conversation coming off that opening game against Tampa, where it was the air raid Dallas Cowboys offense and they were throwing the ball all over the yard, but they couldn't run it then. They couldn't even flex back to that. Dak Prescott averaged 4.8 air yards per attempt. That's the second lowest in his career in any game where he's attempted at least 10 passes here. They couldn't push it down the field now either. And the most concerning part to me, Chris, if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, we're not talking about them missing a lot of the bodies that we talked about, right? They've had injuries at various points. Tyron Smith was out there on the field. Zach Martin, Lael Collins were out there on the field for these guys here. Your receiver group, until midway through the game, when Michael Gallup unfortunately suffered that knee injury catching a touchdown pass, was whole. Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard were in the backfield. You've got everyone here. But again, we talked about how they misfired on constructing this roster, giving Zeke that money too early, waiting so long to pay your quarterback and solidify that situation now. It seems like they have missed the window on the core of this group's ability to go out there and play top-end football. Because, again, I know they're not all probably 100%, but no one is at this point in the NFL season. That core was on the field for the Cowboys and, unfortunately, ineffective.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And so the degree of difficulty for Dak is just going to become that much greater now that you're going to be going without Michael Gallup, who Jerry Jones said they suspected has a torn ACL. So good luck with trying to figure that out. But also, Mike McCarthy, he's not completely absolved of blame either, because that decision that he made to call timeout before that fake field goal that Cliff Kingsbury decided that he wanted to line up and decoy on the Dallas Cowboys at the end of the third quarter, that ended up costing the Cowboys a timeout that they ultimately needed in order to challenge that Chase Edmonds fumble at the end of the game. But they weren't able to do it on the other side of the two-minute warning, and the Arizona Cardinals were able to bleed the clock. So Mike McCarthy has to get some blame in this, too, for in-game management. It's been something that a lot of folks have been critical of him in the past, and it pops up again. So that could be another issue that the Dallas Cowboys have to try to overcome. You wouldn't think that your head coach is one of those obstacles, but it feels like in this instance, that just might be the case.
It just may be one of the many things now that hinders the Cowboys down the stretch in a season where it was 100% Super Bowl or bust. And right now we're leaning towards bust. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get to more of your calls on Antonio Brown and the rest coming up here in a minute. But we also got to take a look. We are getting ready for the regular season NBA debut of Kyrie Irving with the Brooklyn Nets. What the hell is this team's plan going forward with one of the most difficult superstars in the sport? We'll tell you next here on ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. Hoping to talk to Heath Miller, former Pro Bowl tight end for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Proud
My former teammate. Yeah, my former teammate. His nickname was Big Money in college, Gojo. He was recruited as a quarterback, and when he got there, we realized he wasn't a quarterback. He was a tight end. And I say it to this day, that's some of Andy Heck's best work, being able to make that conversion, turn him into a first-round draft pick at tight end. Guy had a really long career and is also a Super Bowl champion. So, yeah, Big Money is what we call him, affectionately Heath Miller. Excited to be able to talk to my former teammate about what's going on in the NFL.
They called him the Godfather when I was with the Steelers for my rookie training camp. And every morning when we jog out to the field, Heath was rehabbing a groin injury or something. We'd walk by and Ramon Foster at the head of the line for all the offensive linemen say, "Rookies, pay respect to the Godfather." And we'd all just tip our cap to Heath and walk by. And Heath would just wave because he's like the nicest guy on earth. So we'll talk to Heath about Ben Roethlisberger, what could be his final game for the Steelers coming up tonight at Heinz Field, as well as what's gone on with his former teammate Antonio Brown. Speaking of, we want to hear from you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Ryan in Syracuse. Ryan, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. here. What do you got?
What's going on, fellas? I'll say it real quick before the end of the week. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Antonio Brown, yes, he will be on an NFL field again. There's been time and time again. He talked about the accountability of and being able to learn his lesson with Antonio Brown. When are GMs and owners going to take accountability? They're the ones who ultimately construct the roster. Somebody will give him a chance again because of his ability, and you've seen it time and time again. Josh Gordon, how many times has he been suspended and allowed back? Back in the day, you had Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, Ryan, I'd say this, though. Like, the Josh Gordon situation, to me, markedly different because he's never been accused of anything criminal. Those are demons that Josh has dealt with, addiction and the things of the like on his own here. But this situation with Antonio Brown, Chris, the reason I am less optimistic that he will ever see an NFL field again is because it was really a one-player market for him, right? Tom Brady was the guy taking a chance on him at multiple stops, and if you've alienated that guy, I feel like that's your last best chance.
No doubt about it. And then to take it a step further, like we've seen players not be available for their team for a myriad of reasons, some of it with off the field issues, some guys have been suspended, some guys with opt-outs. We've never seen a player in the middle of the game, a guy that's on your game day roster, your active 46, decide that all of a sudden he was no longer going to be a part of it. And no, it's not because of an injury. It's because he just decided he was going to take his helmet and his shoulder pads off and then jog to the locker room while doing jumping jacks in the end zone and chucking the deuces to the fan base. Like, I don't understand how another NFL team could possibly trust him to be on their team and to take up a game day roster spot, knowing that this guy is capable of cutting bait and quitting on you at any moment. I just don't see an NFL team willing to run that risk. And of course, if you're talking about bringing Antonio Brown in, you're probably going to be a contending team. He's not going to be a part of what the Detroit Lions are trying to build or the Jacksonville Jaguars are trying to build. You're not going to bring Antonio Brown in when you have those types of rebuilds. You're bringing him in to help you compete for a championship. You name me the championship contending team that would be willing to take on that type of risk with AB right now. I don't see it. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a need at the receiver position. They lost Chris Godwin with a tore ACL for the rest of the year. Leonard Fournette's probably not going to be available. They're short on skill position players. Antonio Brown can do some special things with the ball in his hands, yet they decided that after this latest antics from Antonio Brown, that they had to move on from him. I don't think there's going to be any team that's going to pick up that mantle.
You know what? It's amazing we're having this conversation, Chris, as we are getting ready this week for the return of Kyrie Irving to the Brooklyn Nets, right? Like, it seems so similar. Now, Kyrie, I think, still at the height of his powers a little more than Antonio Brown was, and we know certainly has not been accused of some of the things off the field that Antonio Brown has, but another example of a guy who in this situation, especially when it comes to sports, and you talked about this currency of the locker room, can I count on you to be where you need to be and where you're supposed to be for this team? Kyrie Irving has demonstrated that time and time again, especially with this core, especially with this team last season, that he could not be counted on in those spots, Chris. So it's going to be difficult to try and reconcile that while we're dealing with something similar like this with Antonio Brown.
No doubt about it. But what I'll say about Kyrie Irving is it doesn't feel like James Harden is necessarily sold on him being a teammate long term, which is why James Harden hadn't signed a long term contract extension with the Brooklyn Nets. So I'm interested to see how the Nets as an organization manage this Kyrie thing over the course of the next month, because I still think there's a possibility that they could consider moving on from Kyrie in order to bring back some pieces that could help James Harden and Kevin Durant compete for a championship this year. And with the level that James Harden has played at, especially the last four games, not outside of the realm of possibility that they make that decision. But coming up,